As the new year approaches, minds turn toward what 2023 will bring, especially budgets. But the process of figuring out the ebbs and flows of local advertising has become more complex and more driven by uncontrollable factors like the economy than anything else. In this episode, we explore the main economic influences that will drive advertising next year and talk with an executive from the Federal Reserve Bank on what she's seeing.
Welcome to the Local Marketing Trends Podcast, bringing you unique insights from two of the industry's brightest analysts and forecasters, Corey Elliott and Gordon Burrell. Today's podcast is sponsored by Basis Technologies, the industry's most trusted partner for building out in-house programmatic capabilities, and Spectrio, the leader in comprehensive digital signage solutions and on-site customer engagement technology. And now, here are your hosts, Corey and Gordon.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the big show. I'm one of your hosts, Corey Elliott, and with me, as always, Mr. Gordon Burrell.
Welcome to the big show.
Reminds me of the big show.
Ed Sullivan, showing my age.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, Boomer.
We got some interesting things to talk about because it is that time of year, Corey, when people keep contacting us and saying, hey, what are you seeing for radio next year? What are you seeing for newspapers next year? They want something on which to base their budgets for 2023.
Yeah, it's crazy. You know, the last couple of years have been crazy, but just going forward from 2022 to 2023 and understanding all these things that have happened in the past 3 years, how they impact, is it going back to quote unquote normal? What does the new normal look like? And I got to tell you, Gordon, it's absolutely different depending on where you're sitting.
I define it as wonky. It's wonky.
Yeah, it's wonky, not only, you know, whether you are on the East Coast, West Coast, in a big city, small town, what kind of businesses are in your backyard? All of these things factor in.
Yeah, it was really interesting in that webinar that we did last week where we unveiled our forecast, where we said advertising was basically flat, which is really interesting because there was this huge influx of businesses and you think, wow, it's going to grow. But you had one finding in that webinar about paid search, a difference in two markets.
Yeah. And that's the thing is there's so much to talk about. Specifically, what we were talking about is in something like general paid search, there are differences per market. In Hot Springs, Arkansas, we see general paid search going up about 13.5% in 2023. Meanwhile, in a place like Vail, Colorado, it's down 3.4%.
Yeah, and it's just so important, I think, for people to understand that, you know, gosh, every market is really different. Hot Springs is different than Vail. But also, one thing that we saw is you saw a big movement out of large, particularly northern markets, but also San Francisco, but Chicago, New York, Philadelphia, et cetera, into, in some cases, rural markets, in some cases, suburban markets. Huge influx from New York to Florida during the pandemic. So you have this big movement in people and consumers that's changing the economy and the economies of local markets. But what you found, I think, was just fascinating. We talked about it briefly on the previous podcast, was this tremendous growth in businesses in individual markets, thousands of them, new businesses. So maybe a couple thousand collapsed during the pandemic, and then a couple thousand more were created. So the net was this huge growth. And if your advertising is tied to businesses that buy it, shouldn't you be looking at that if you're doing your forecast?
Absolutely. And it's tricky, right? Because, you know, then you ask, well, what were the businesses that were created? What categories were they in? What did they look like? Are they little home operations? So just because the number of businesses, and you alluded to this earlier, just because the number of businesses grew exponentially doesn't necessarily mean that advertising follows, because so many of these places were really, really small. They count as a business, but they could literally be a one-person shop. So real estate, there are so many real estate agents that popped up since the pandemic, since 2019. And, you know, you can hang a shingle out, call yourself a real estate agent. Doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to, that all this influx of advertising is going to happen, though, especially in traditional media. It'll go online first, if anywhere.
Yeah. And what we know about those small businesses is we had outlined some of this in that forecast webinar that we did last week, is that they do spend money. They're not like, okay, well, you know, we're not going to after these businesses because there are fewer than 10 employees and they don't spend that much. Proportionately, they spend more than large businesses in terms of the percentage of gross revenue. So they spend close to 6% of gross revenue, where larger businesses spend only 4.5% of gross revenue. And it comes out for a small business too. And this is a business with fewer than 10 employees, which we are assuming are newer businesses. Many of them are.
Yep.
$27,000 a year. That's not, you know, that's some money. And some of them spend, you know, quite a bit more than that because they're just getting established. There was one other slide, Corey, that I think was just really fantastic because we're looking at, okay, a lot of them start out in digital. We know that, but eventually they have questions as they, you know, add employees and want to roll the dice a bit more. Maybe they're a year or two or close to three into having been created. Now they're going to get more serious. It was that one slide that showed the percentage of them, these really small businesses that are buying digital advertising from. What percentage, you know, would most people think would be a digital-only provider, like Facebook, right, or like Google? You know, everybody thinks, well, that's all they're buying from. No, they're more likely to buy digital advertising from a traditional media company because they got to talk to somebody in the local market. You can't talk to somebody at Google or Facebook.
No. They want that. We try and hammer that home. We learn that from our SMB panels. These local businesses are begging for help. The attitude you might run into if you're trying to sell to them is, and this is going to sound so cold and callous, is they've given up. They've given up finding the help. The help isn't coming, so I'm just going to use a media company as a vending machine, and that's it. But boy, if you come in there and help, that'll change things around considerably.
Yeah. So it's really important, I guess our point is, and geez, we agree on something, Corey. If you're going to try to figure out where things are headed next year, you damn well better be looking at, you know, the ebb and flow of businesses in your market. And, you know, are there more HVAC companies or fewer? You know, everybody seems to be going after them. And roofers or grocery stores or restaurants, you know, take a look at what's fueling all of that sales that you're expecting next year. And are they a type of businesses you're going after? It's really important to look at the economy and to understand the, as we said, the ebb and flow of things. That's why I'm excited about having the person from the Fed, Sherry Bauer, speaking at our conference in March. We asked her to just talk with us about some things that she's seeing at the Fed with regard to the economy. We're going to tie them a little more specifically to businesses during the conference and really get her to talk about what the Fed is seeing with regard to new business creation and growth in GDP and things that are just really fueling local economies and regional economies. So we'll get to that interview right after this.
At Basis Technologies, we partner with media companies to drive revenue by providing enterprise-level software and service across programmatic, site direct, search, social, and CTV. Through the power of workflow automation plus world-class support, Basis can help your team scale effectively and efficiently. Ready to get more from your ad tech? Just go to basis.net today. That's www.basis.net.
Spectrio is a leading provider of comprehensive digital signage solutions that empowers clients to transform their business locations into modern, dynamic destinations for customers and employees. Headquartered in Tampa, Florida, and founded in 2002, Spectrio serves over 150,000 franchise and enterprise locations in multiple industries, including quick-serve restaurants, automotive, healthcare, and financial services.
Okay, I've got with me Sherry Bauer, who is the regional executive for the Federal Reserve Bank of Atlanta. She's based in Miami. Sherry, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
It's a pleasure to have you here, and I'm really excited about your being on our podcast, but also speaking at our conference in a few months in March. First, let's talk about your role at the Fed. What do you do there?
I work for the Federal Reserve Bank of Atlanta as the regional executive based out of our branch in Miami. So the Fed is one of the few decentralized central banks in the world, and that means that we are geographically diverse. And it was created this way in 1913, but it's still useful today because we have a very complex economy. And we want to make sure that we are getting economic information from everywhere, from all over the nation, east coast to west, north to south, in the middle, from the cities to the farmlands. And that's why the Fed collects information about what's going on in their regional economies. And that's what I help to do. I collect expert observations about what's going on in our local economy. The work of our economists and our grassroots information can be combined into a really robust regional picture that we take to the Federal Open Markets Committee in Washington, D.C. to help inform the Fed's policymaking decisions. And so that's what I do here in South Florida. The world is moving really fast. And so hearing from an extensive network of business contacts about what they're seeing is really, really invaluable. And I will just do a quick shameless plug for a podcast that two of my colleagues recently did. It's called the general podcast series that the Atlanta Fed produces is called Economy Matters. And two of my colleagues actually did a podcast that goes a little bit more in depth into this work and why it's so important.
Part of what you said there was that the research that, you know, based on forecasting is really based on past trends, based on some history, and there's a lot of collection of that data. So let's go back to the pandemic. What are the major things that are different that the Fed is seeing than we saw in 2019 as they pertain to the economy? And of course, as they pertain to the business at hand, and that is what small businesses are doing.
I'm glad that you qualified that with as it pertains to the economy, because I was thinking, wow, there's so many directions I could take this. So much is different, right, since the pandemic. So we had a number of stimulus payments. And so we had people at home with extra liquidity, extra cash, not going out as much, but spending a lot of money on goods. So demand increased significantly. You know, at the same time, we had a lot of supply chain challenges. And so this imbalance between demand and supply is really part of what pushed up prices and why we see some of the inflation that we do today. So consumer behavior and consumer choices, I think, is something that has changed considerably because of the pandemic, with people sitting at home, ordering things on the internet, spending money, doing home renovation projects. As the economy started to open up again, we saw people going back out into the community and going out to eat and taking trips again. So we are seeing some of that shift returning now to services from goods. But that was something that had definitely changed a lot during the pandemic, just what people were buying and how they were making choices. I think for me, what changed the most, what I've seen, is just the how we work, right? This sort of movement to remote work or working from home is something that was different for a lot of people during the pandemic. And the labor market remains really tight, right? The number of jobs that are available still far exceeds the number of people looking for jobs. And that's been creating upward pressure on wages, which is also impacting inflation and prices. It's also giving workers more leverage in terms of asking for things that they want that maybe we didn't see pre-pandemic, right? And so definitely a different dynamic and relationship based on the businesses that I'm talking to in terms of the employer-employee relationship and the kinds of things that employees are asking for. And a lot of employees want that flexibility. I think people got used to working from home and they enjoyed that. They enjoyed the work-life balance. So that is something that has certainly changed. Of course, that's not true across the board, right? There's many jobs where you just have to be in person. You can't work from home. And there's many companies that want their employees to come back to the office.
What about regional differences? Any differences based on regions of the country or maybe rural versus urban markets?
I mean, regional differences just in terms of what we see in the Southeast versus what we see nationally. I mean, for one, housing is one that just is top of mind. And this has been highlighted in data during the pandemic. Southeastern states have had significantly higher price gains than the national growth rate in terms of housing, with Florida in the lead. And, you know, a lot of that was just people moved out of the West Coast and Northeast during the pandemic looking for sunshine and affordability in the Southeast. And so even with rising mortgage rates, we're still seeing, you know, higher housing prices in Florida and in the Southeast generally. I think, of course, rural areas and smaller cities have really been impacted by structural and economic shifts in recent decades in the U.S. economy, especially as we transition away from producing goods to providing more services. And this really favors more populated areas. Our president, Rafael Bostic, who's the president of the Atlanta Fed, talks a lot about economic disparities and lack of opportunity. And our economists conduct research that look at these big disparities in economic outcomes between individuals living in metropolitan and rural areas. So For example, rural places have struggled with comparatively slower employment growth and labor force participation. And this is an area where that sort of rural metro disparity is worsening. Meanwhile, participation in the labor force is essential for most people to achieve an adequate standard of living. And trends show that jobs recovery from the Great Recession has been uneven, especially with the decline in things like rural manufacturing employment. There's declining access to affordable housing. That's another issue impacting rural communities where they have unique needs when compared to urban centers. And then you think about stories you heard during the pandemic when so many schools went to virtual learning and students were sitting outside libraries and restaurants to access Wi-Fi networks. So that rural-urban divide in broadband access, even though it's been narrowing and improving in recent years, it's still a big issue that we saw for rural communities.
An exchange in email recently, I had told you that we had picked up on this tremendous creation of new businesses in the past 32, 34 months since the pandemic. And it just seems like lots and lots, millions of new businesses, very small ones, have been created. Are you picking up on any of that data? And is there anything you can tell us about the creation of small businesses and why there may seem to be so many of them out there?
I will say, for me in South Florida, we're a really entrepreneurial economy and community and very small business focused. I think during the pandemic, as people were either laid off for their jobs or were looking for jobs where they had more flexibility and could work from home or just had more time on their hands sitting at home, I think a lot of that also led to the creation of more small businesses.
So our conference is about 4 months away. And of all the things you might be addressing, whether it's interest rates, inflation, GDP, consumptions of goods and services, what to you has a big question mark on it right now in your mind? What's really hard to predict between now and then?
One is, and I'll just go back to what you had asked me earlier in terms of what I saw as the biggest change since the pandemic. And I can tell you that from all of the business contacts that I talked to, at least today, labor seems to be their number one challenge. With a continuing really tight labor market, still really hard to find people, and with salaries continuing to increase, there's a lot of questions about whether or not this sort of shift in the labor market is something more permanent. And so I think that's something that's top of mind for a lot of businesses. So starting in March, the Federal Open Market Committee has raised the federal funds rate 6 times. And for many reasons, it's really difficult to know exactly when this is going to impact the inflation that we're seeing. So Chairman Powell, in his November FOMC statement, noted that the committee is going to start to consider these lags as it sort of determines the pace of future increases in the Fed funds rate. We're really trying to slow down the economy and to help bring down inflationary pressures. So I talked at the beginning about this demand-supply imbalance that we saw during the pandemic. And so there's not a ton that the Fed can do about the supply side of that, but we are trying to slow demand a little bit to bring down prices. And this happens slowly. So some researchers say it can take 18 months or more for this tighter monetary policy to really affect inflation because it takes time for businesses and consumers to react to see this change in financial conditions. And so that makes it really hard to predict what is going to happen. The Fed is watching the data really carefully. But, you know, like I joked with you at the start of this, just don't ask me where interest rates are going to be next year. I am not an economic forecaster, but it's a really hard time to be an economic forecaster because of all of these reasons that I noted. In addition to things that are just out of our control, external factors related to, you know, continuing impacts from the pandemic and new variants to conflicts overseas and policies of other sort of foreign governments that have an impact on the economy and what we do.
Sherry, thanks so much. That was very enlightening. We really look forward to having you at our conference in a couple of months in Miami.
Thank you. I look forward to being there.
I feel vindicated. Hear
that? How so? Vindicated. How so?
Well, just that the Federal Reserve is seeing all this business creation and things are changing on a local level. They see it too, up on their mighty perch.
Yeah, I think they're looking really more and tracking more of things related to growth in consumption, but also population trends and things related to the local economy. And you know, that's really good. What I want to explore more, and where this came from, was I saw a presentation at the Minnesota Broadcasters Association meeting by someone from the Fed, and I thought, wow, that is really useful information. You know, that really gets you to thinking about the local economy. So what we're going to do with Sherry really is work with her a bit over the next couple of months to try to tailor the presentation to, hey, here's some really great insights about the economy, what to look for in your specific economy, things that will help you be more accurate in hell. What we think, Corey, tell me if I'm wrong, is that there's probably a lot more business available to media companies and agencies as potential clients than they're actually seeing because they're new businesses and they haven't really popped their head up and shown up in places like, you know, Kantar Report or Miller Kaplan mm-hmm. Report, because they're not really advertising. They're invisible. They're not on billboards. They're not on TV. They might be doing some targeted advertising that you don't even see. So it'd be good to know that they're out there at least.
Yeah, I would think so. And a danger that some media companies get into that I've worked with or I've been part of is having the blinders on, the business blinders, where you get so accustomed to your entire business universe either being the advertiser you have or the ones who have churned, and that's it. That's your entire universe. And very rarely do you get this influx of new business information. And so if you start to have this illusion that your universe is this one tight little ball, you're missing all of this creation outside of it. And that's where a lot of opportunity is.
Yeah. The question remains, how do you find them if they are invisible? You know, how do you put reverse invisibility dust on them? I don't know. Whatever it is that would make them be visible again. Put on your secret X-ray glasses or something.
Well, and I think it would just be dust, wouldn't it? You don't have to have a reverse. Just be dust on an invisible thing. Make it appear.
I think one of the best thoughts, I guess, I had to me personally in my own little world, it's that, you know, think about it. If you're in business and you've got this dream of starting this business and you've cobbled together, you know, some savings and maybe some relatives have loaned you some money and you've bought mm-hmm. some equipment or whatever, you really don't know about marketing. You're definitely a novice and you have questions and you're thinking about it. You're seeing a competitor who's been around for a while and they're on TV and you got questions about marketing. How do you get them out of the woodwork? Well, you advertise because you're a radio station or you're a newspaper and you can advertise in the paper, your TV station, or you're an outdoor company and you can put it on your billboards. You know, got questions about marketing? Come to our seminar or our webinar, yeah. Whatever. You know, get them to, you know, lure them with one of the things that they're thinking about that you can help them with. Otherwise, you know, you're probably not going to find a list, you know, go over all these new businesses that have been created because 90% of them probably won't return a phone call or, you know, want to talk to you.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. That's an interesting idea. I never thought about an outdoor company using their own billboards to say, you got questions? Come to us.
Yeah, that's genius, though. You know, yeah. I thought of that. I did.
Yeah, that it's all you, idea. Gordon. It's all you. Trademark it, quick.
Hey, so what are you doing for Thanksgiving and the rest of the holidays? You going out of town? Doing anything fun?
Probably going to get our annual Chinese buffet going for Thanksgiving. We used to go to Jamestown settlement, but we did that.
Buffet. Reminds me of the scene from The Christmas Story.
Yeah, but we purposely do it. It's delicious.
They go out and they have duck, and then the people sing to them.
Oh, boy. Yep, yep. Yes.
And okay.
On that note.
On that note, happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Happy Thanksgiving to you, Corey.
And right back at you, big guy.
You've been listening to the Local Marketing Trends Podcast, sponsored by Spectrio and by Basis Technologies. If you have submissions or ideas for future shows, or if you'd like to be a guest, email the hosts at podcast@burrellassociates.com. Thanks for listening, and remember, market well.